Translation by Srila Prabhupada, the Prabhupada Ki. Please repeat. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me. Who am above the modes and inexhaustible? This sentence is very easy. There are three modes of material nature, he says. Either we are in goodness. Now at the moment we are in the mode of goodness. We are hearing about the supreme good. Or we are working very hard. That time we are in the mode of passion. Or we glide down to the ignorance wherein we are completely lazy to do anything. And the sleep is the supreme ignorance. So sleep, laziness, forces us to get miserable in the material existence. The more we sleep, the more we destroy our time. It's very nicely said in Srimad Bhagavatam that Ayuho Harati Vai Pumsam Udyan Nastan Yan Nasav Tasya Ruteksanam Nito Uttam Shloka Vataya. Ayuho Harati. Ayuho means our life. Harati means decreases. Our life definitely decreases. How? Udyam, by rising. Astam, by setting. And Asav, sun. It's nice, something is right. Prasad, mother? Prasad means there. Madhva is disturbed. I know your nature. So we should not hear that. So this line very nicely explains that by rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, one day is less. This Belgium is very nice country. Is there anybody who don't decrease? It's a nice place. The government gives you cash money also. Isn't it Bhakta? No? He said no. So we have to abide by his orders. No, there is no exception. Everybody of us are losing the existence. But he says in the second line that there is one exception to this. And it is Tasya Rute Kshanam Nito Uttam Shloka Vataya. Tasya Rute means there is exception to this rule that if you don't want to decrease your life, then this is the way. And what is it? Kshanam Nito. Kshanam means your moment of existence. Each moment of our existence, if it is utilized in Varta and the topics, discussion of the topics, Uttam Shloka means the Supreme Lord who is praised by the transcendental songs. If your life is utilized in discussion of the different topics regarding the Supreme Absolute Truth, then your life doesn't decrease. It is very correct. It's more than truth. Because as soon as you engage in these topics, no doubt the body is getting old. But you don't feel the old age. Because of our association with the all fresh, all young Lord, he never gets old. It's funny enough, at the time of Kurukshetra war, he was 125 years old. But you see his pictures, they hardly appear more than 22, 24. He's always young. He doesn't age beyond that age. And if you associate with him through his topics and through these scriptures, then you also don't feel the old age. Till death we don't feel. And till that, our mental capacity is completely in order. Otherwise we are baffled at the time of death. Even if we are sick, we are completely baffled. But sickness, or the old age, or the end of the body, you don't feel at all. Because these activities are the eternal activities After death also, if you are habituated to do these activities, to glorify the Lord with full your heart, then you don't feel these things. And that's why we are very much attracted to the discussions of these scriptures. Please, this is a well-tested, well-proved lifestyle. And it is not today, or it is not from 30 years. This ISKCON movement is very recent. But the philosophy which we are propagating is millions and millions of years old. It's the root philosophy. You take the Christianity, it is 2000 years old. 2000 years in the whole of eternal time is nothing, not even a flash. It's very little time. Then you take Islam, it is only 1400 years old. You take Buddhism, is less than that. And all other faiths, so-called, they are very recent. Whereas this eternal religion is given, propagated by God Himself. He says in Bhagavad Gita, in 4th chapter, that Imam Vivaspate Yogam, Proktavan Aham Abhyam, Vivasvan Manve Praha, Manu Rikshvakave Abravin. Imam Vivaspate Yogam, this is the rule of Vivasvan Manu. And Manu is our forefather, and that's why we are called as man. Man word comes from Manu, because we are all descendants of Manus. And because we are descendants of Manu, we hear his instructions. And he says that this yoga, I have given you to Vivaswan. And Bhagavan says, the God himself says, that I have given this knowledge to Manu in the beginning. And Manu Ikshvakaveya Bravi. And in turn, Manu gave it to his son, Ikshvaku, in whose family Lord has appeared as Ramchandra. And then again Ikshvaku gave his son this, and in this way, in a nice disciplic succession, this knowledge is flowing. It is all disciplic succession. Everybody of us are disciples. And the meaning of the disciple is that our life is completely disciplined. That's why we are known as disciples. In the disciple world, there is a word discipline. If your life is not disciplined, then it is a dog life. Dog gets a bed any time. Find out some sex here and there. Find out some food here and there. It is a doggish life. There is no discipline. He doesn't have to do anything for the whole day. Just roams about. Here you may lock him, or you may feed him, whatever you do. But it's a dog life without discipline. As soon as you discipline your existence, you get away from the old age. You get away from all the miseries. You get away anything which is troubling you in the material life. And this is the only way to come to the Supreme and surrender to the Supreme completely. And as soon as you surrender to the Supreme completely, by His complete arrangement of the material nature, He arranges your existence in such a way that you don't have any miserable condition at all. This is the secret of human existence. And in this human existence, if you don't approach the Supreme to mitigate your misery, and if you run around to the other corners to mitigate your misery, we are all always unsuccessful. This is the meaning of these three modes of material nature. Three modes of material nature, that is ignorance, passion and goodness, they all drag us to the material platform. Whereas we are not meant for the material platform. Our body is material, no doubt. But the spark which activates this body, animates this body, is spiritual by nature. Doesn't have any destruction. Is it eternal by nature? And if the spark is eternal, we don't care about the body. We may change the bodies, you know. We have already changed. All of you had 2-year-old body. Where is it gone? All of you had 4-year-old body, 10-year-old body. Where is it gone? And this body at the moment we have, suppose if we are lucky to survive for 10 years, this group will be completely changed after 10 years. Our body will be completely changed. But the spark always remains the same. And inner spark of the body, the main animating force of this material body, if it doesn't change, Then it has to change the body. And it changes the body according to the activities. And these scriptures force us, our gurus they force us, our saints and sages, they force us to change the consciousness. At the moment our consciousness is 10% material. And because our consciousness is polluted by the material consciousness, we are miserable. We are miserable in our existence. Because the material consciousness, the material thing, can never satisfy the supreme spiritual spark. That is the thing. The spiritual spark must have the association of the supreme spiritual spirit. Otherwise it cannot mix with the body. In this body, we may stay for 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, at the most 100. But unless this spark gets the association of the same species, the bodies don't satisfy us. We may have a very good wife, but wife doesn't really please us for a long time. In the beginning it's all right, I love you, you love me. It's for 8 days only. You know, it is very nicely said in scriptures that when we newly marry her, she has a moon-like face and Chandramukhi. It's not in Sanskrit. Chandramukhi. You know that. My friend, it is best you read. He has seen all these mukhas. So in the beginning, he says, she or he is very attached to each other, and they can't pass time without doing this and that. So it is a Chandramukhi period. Then slowly, you have a child or two. She becomes Suryamukhi. Surya means sun. Shines like a sun. And he can't bear the warmth. Mother runs to the temple, finish him up. Then the Suryamukhi period continues for some time. And as soon as she starts shining, the warmth really troubles her. But we can bear it. It doesn't matter. Even if you curse us, even then we are all right. So there is Suryamukhi period. And then in the end, she becomes Jalamukhi. Jalamukhi means volcano. Burst out, lava. Lava coming out. And then the whole village is destroyed. So this is the sequence. You can never be satisfied. One body is a miserable body, how can the two bodies will be happy? Our own body is a miserable body, full of stool, urine and what not. And then you bring another body to satisfy this body. Can we imagine the lunacy we are following? And we think that I am married. All the air comes out. These are the things to be thought over. Then we think that, oh, two bodies are not enough to please me, you know. So we must have a few more bodies to satisfy. So we produce children. And then my two bodies are more miserable. So a third body comes. Go. Okay. Then he said, no, one child is not enough. Maybe one more will satisfy. Again, fourth body. Fifth body. And all these bodies together, they kill us again. And this is the material paraphernalia. Then we think that the bodies don't satisfy me. I must have a TV set. And he goes like a lunatic person, takes the loan from the bank, and best TV, Toshiba, whatever it is. And brings a big box. And then it is restricted, only viewing for Krishna conscious videos. He writes there. And children said that he will go for work now. So as soon as he leaves, they remove that and watch whatever they want to watch. And then he comes back and then he has to face all the violence they have seen there. This is how we end up in a more miserable condition by increasing the material paraphernalia. And in the material paraphernalia, with all these three modes of material nature, if it is troublesome to us, then we must be sane enough to think that there must be some anti-material thing which should please us. Because we have seen, in our life we have seen that material paraphernalia doesn't please us. On the contrary, it increases the miseries. Our food is a miserable thing. Our drinks are miserable things. Our houses are miserable. Our associations are miserable. So these things are not good for us. At least in this species of life, wherein we can consider more and more. And these things force us to go to some anti-material supreme to satisfy ourselves. And in that quest, then you may be guided or misguided. Again there is a danger. If your quest is correct, by this time you have known that the material paraphernalia doesn't satisfy us. We are sure now that my drinks are not satisfying me, my eating is not satisfying me, and any other material thing, wife, etc., wealth, houses, properties, businesses, they are not sufficient to satisfy me. So in the end, the soul, by its own constitution, hankers after the same species like him. Because it is spiritual. It is a tiny spiritual particle. And the tiny particle cannot exist without this firm support of the supreme spiritual entity. And therein, some quest starts. We try to inquire here, there. And then we may end up in meditation societies or some other benevolent works, you know. So many things are attracting us. Because we know very well that whatever I had a pursuit of these material things, they are completely fall short of satisfying myself. So we try to find out something anti-material in which we don't expect any result for our own enjoyment. But we sacrifice the result of our work. Suppose you may work for the Salvation Army and then you are not paid. But you sacrifice your results of activity for the Salvation Army. Or you may work in some benevolent society, some hospitals or this or that or that. So many activities we have, philanthropic activities around us. At the most you go to some meditation centers wherein he forces you to sit. You pay $50 to him. You know, how many francs, you know, $50? Don't know what's that?
$1,000.
$1,500 francs. You pay 1500 francs and he forces you to get your nose. Hey man, if I have to get my nose, why to pay 1500 francs? Then we don't realize because we are searching for something higher. Fortunately, if we come across the centers like this, Srila Prabhupada is very kind, you know, to come to this side of the world from Vrindavan and give us the right direction. He didn't charge 1500 francs. And did Paul charge? No. No, we don't charge. That is our parampara. Prabhupada gave this free. And this is the need of the day. That there shouldn't be exploitation in the spiritual quest also. That is the point. This is our constitutional position. And in this constitutional duty, these three modes are the impediment. And this verse gives you the full idea. Even the translation is beautiful. Only one sentence, you know. You please repeat. And remember the translation. We will repeat the translation. Please, it is only one sentence. Please repeat. Deluded by the three modes,
goodness,
passion, and
ignorance.
The whole world
does not know me.
See, one sentence, don't you? Deluded by the three modes, Deluded by the three modes.
Deluded by the three
modes. Deluded by the three modes. Deluded by three modes.
That's what I don't understand. Deluded by three modes.
No, I'm not complaining. I was just looking to this person. Your modes were going on something. So please, pay attention here for the change. Afterwards, you are free whatever you want to do. Deluded by the three modes. Goodness, passion and ignorance.
Goodness, passion and ignorance.
The simple meaning of this is... Jai, I didn't see you.
I didn't see you.
You look like Vaishnava. What is the trouble with you? No, I see Rala. Rala, nice to see you. This, the simple meaning of this is, because of three modes conditions, here we are in ignorance. Ignorance means we are completely lethargic. We don't do anything at all. And as I told you, in sleep, we are in mode of ignorance. And when we get up, we rub our eyes and we don't know what is happening, whether to open our eyes or not. After opening our eyes also, we don't know what is to be done. This is mode of ignorance. Then what happens? Then we have to go to our job. So somehow or the other we get ready and run around, sit in the car and drive the car. There is mode of passion. And you work very hard to get some results. You understand English?
Yes, sir. I don't understand the words modes.
Geaardheden. Geaardheden.
So, and as soon as you go in passion, then many times few living entities, they think that whatever they are doing is not satisfying them. The results of the activities, they don't satisfy us. So then they try to search out some higher thing. And they become very good men, you know, gentlemen. And as soon as you become gentleman or gentlewoman, then you feel happy. That is mode of goodness. Here, we don't have to earn anything. We are not attracted by Lakshmi money. But here we have come to hear something about the Supreme Authority, whose nature is fully blissful, is completely blissful. And the talk about the Supreme Nature is also very blissful. This brings you in the mode of goodness. And then even then, this mode of goodness is also not sufficient to carry us to the Supreme Lord. So we have to purify the mode of goodness. That is the fourth stage. It is known in Sanskrit as Turiya Avastha. You purify your mode of goodness also. In the end, we leave all these three modes and we are higher than the modes, and therein we may have a glimpse of Krishna if He is merciful. If the Lord is merciful, we may have the glimpse. This is the purport of this verse. So we want to learn the translation so that you remember this sentence for the whole of your lifetime. Deluded by the modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance.
Goodness, passion, ignorance.
The whole world does not know me.
Does not know me.
Who am?
Above the modes.
And inexhaustible. Deluded by the modes of material nature.
Deluded by the modes of material nature.
Goodness, passion and ignorance.
Goodness, passion and ignorance.
The whole world.
Does not know me.
Who am?
Above the modes.
And inexhaustible.
We
will repeat. Very good. Very good. Very nice. This is what we should remember. Yes?
The whole world does not know me.
indignation
of only one word. Yes. So three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, were above the modes and inexhaustible.
Joy. You couldn't taste in your throat. Anybody else? Yes, Mataji. Yes, anybody. It was difficult for you in English. Deluded by the modes.
Deluded by
the modes. Goodness, passion and ignorance.
Goodness, passion and ignorance.
The whole world does not know me.
The whole world does not know
me. We are included in it. So if you want to see the Supreme Lord, then we have to get rid of these modes. And that is very nicely shown in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. And there is, please, let me finish. These modes are the part of our material existence. So far, we are engrossed into the material activities with a complete material consciousness. We are under the sway of these three modes of material nature. But as soon as you come to this center, and as soon as you try to hear about the Supreme Lord, who says that I am above the modes of material nature, you also become above the modes of material nature. The devotion to the Supreme Lord will force you to get out of this material consciousness and to get out of these modes of material nature. And that is the whole endeavor of these centers. These centers are meant for the common people like us to get over these material modes. And as soon as you try to get over these material modes, you go nearer and nearer to the Supreme Lord. And one day comes when you have the glimpse of the Lord. And not only glimpse, but you talk also. The communion with the Lord is very much possible through the transcendental transmission of the transcendental names of the Lord. You know, we also have the transmissions. This station for the relaying the programs for television is somewhere else, you know, and it relays the programs from there. And because of the transmission, and you have the machine to catch the transmission, and you get the pictures in your house. This transmission is the material transmission. But as soon as you utter the name Krishna, it is the spiritual transmission. And as soon as you utter the name of Krishna, you are connected to the Supreme. Because this is the spiritual transmission machinery. It doesn't require the material transmission machines to catch this transmission. Immediately, Krishna catches your transmission. And this is how you get in touch with the Supreme. And as soon as you get in touch with the Supreme, you are the king of your situation. In whichever situation you are, santushtayena kenva, we are completely satisfied in our material condition, then all our senses are completely under control. That is the second thing, second effect of this transmission. You chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And there are these two effects, that you are satisfied in any condition of material existence. We may have one day the palace to stay, the other day we may be under a tree. It doesn't matter. So far as we are able to continue our transmission, spiritual transmission. And this is the quest of all the sects, all the religions so called. Because the eternal religion forces us to get in touch with the anti-material supreme. We fully well know that the material things are falling short to satisfy our soul. And because our soul is not satisfied, our existence is always unsatisfied. And there are so many clashes, so many unhappiness is there. So we transcend all these things by just spiritual transmission. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And as soon as you take help from this spiritual transmission, santushtayena kenava, then you are satisfied in any condition. You know that material condition may be very good or very bad, but it's all temporary. You cannot take your building with you. You cannot take your car with you. You cannot take your wife with you. You cannot take your children with you. You cannot take a single friend with you. You may have millions of friends, but they don't belong to the material things. They don't belong to us. These are false associations. And those living entities who run after these false associations, they are always miserable. And illicit connections are there. And now in this age, you are facing danger of AIDS and so many other things. I should not tell you, you know better than me. These things force us to improve our lifestyle. We should not run like dogs after each other. The marriage has got to be once only, and no repetition of the illicit connections. If there are any illicit connections, they should be legalized as soon as possible. And unless you stop this pursuit of the illicit connections, you forget about God. You cannot go to God. You cannot even know Him. This is the main condition. Santushtayena Kenava. You will be completely satisfied. And the second effect should be of your quest and transmission, the spiritual transmission. That all your senses must be under control. At the moment, we become violent in the sense pursuit. This is a rascaldom in the words of Srila Prabhupada. If we have any tinge of the spiritual advancement, if we wish that we should advance spiritually, you have to control yourself, which is very difficult. To say these things is very easy, but to control it is very difficult. You know, Vyas Bhagavan, the author of Srimad Bhagavatam, he had a disciple. His name was Jaimini, you know. And he was dictating Srimad Bhagavatam, and his scribe was Ganpati, you know, Ganesh deity, with the elephant head. And the condition of that scribe was that Vyas Bhagavan should dictate Bhagavatam continuously. If he stops, then he will stop writing. I will not continue, he said. So Vyas Bhagavan was very clever, you know. He will dictate few verses and then put one difficult verse. So the condition from Vyas Bhagavan was that unless Ganesh understands the verses, he should write the verses. So Ganesh will take some time to understand the verse. Till that time, Vyas Bhagavan will finish his other verse. So there was one disciple, Jaimini. He said, Guru Maharaj, I also want to write the verses. You know, you are dictating Ganpati. So I will also continue writing. So this Jaimini was very elevated in a disciple. And he was a bit proud also that I have a guru like Vyas Bhagavan, you know. And I am so very learned and I understand all the spiritual matters and everything. So what happened that one day, Vyas Bhagavan was dictating one shloka, you know. And that shloka runs like this. Matra sasra duhitra va na viviktasano bhavet balvan indriya gramo vidvamsam apikarshadi. The meaning is, matra means mother, swasra means sister, duhitra means our daughter. All these pure relationships are there with mother, sister and the daughter. These relationships are not the dirty relationships. But Vyas Bhagavan advises that even with our mother, with our sister or with our daughter, grown-up daughter particularly, we should not sit on the same seat. Na viviktasano bhavet. And why? He explains in the second line that balvan indriya gramo, all our senses are so very powerful that vidvamsam apikarshati. We may be very vidvan, we may be very elevated living entity, but even then there is a chance then we will be attracted by these people. So it is better to avoid this. So Ganpati was thinking about it, you know. Ganesh was thinking. And Jaimini was very proud. He says, Guru Maharaj, I am not going to write this verse. So Hanuman said, what's wrong with it? So Hanuman said, leave me, do you mean to say that I will fall down to this ditch of sex life? No, no, you are wrong. As well and say, all right, if you have doubt, leave it today. We'll see tomorrow. So till Ganesh was thinking, we have begun at a time, you know. So Jaimini went away, stopped writing. I'm feeling very proud that I have found a fault with my Guru Maharaj. And I'm morally elevated. And went away. And that evening, there was a rainy storm near the ashram. And in the ashram there were so many huts to stay. Jaimini was staying in one nice hut. And it was raining like anything, cats and dogs. And storm was there. And about 11, 12 o'clock, midnight, he heard some lady screaming, you know, please help, I'm getting wet, please help. And it was all Nirjan, there was no man around at all. So Jaimini heard them. Screams. He opened the door of his hut. As soon as he opened the door of the hut, in the flash of the lightning, you know, how much is it? A fraction of a second. Lightning flashes, you know. And he saw the wet figure of the lady. They saw a fraction of a second. He saw that figure. Then he started meditating. How long did he meditate? Lighting is only for a fraction of a second, you know. But in that light, he saw the wet figure of the lady. And then he thought, I was in that, no doubt, but it's my duty to help the lady. At the moment, there is nobody yet. So I said, I must go to her. It was not that he wanted to help, but he was attracted by the form. So then, he opened the hut, you know, and there was nobody, everybody was asleep, you know. So he went to the lady and he said, I'm sorry, I'm a sannyasi, I cannot help you. He said, why should he go there to tell her that he cannot help? So the lady requested him, some of these, please. He just basically was completely watery. Because our Prabhupada gives the example of fire and butter. So if the fire is there, how long the butter will survive? So he was completely and then he thought that it doesn't matter. But he said, there is one condition. I will give you a separate hut to stay because you are getting wet now in the rain. So, but please, you have to leave before the sun rises. So he was very much afraid of the other. Sannyas is there, you know, they should not see that he is helping the lady. So he was satisfied, you know. Lady agreed. She said, you just get me the hut now and we will see, you know, before sunrise I'll vanish. So then Jaimini took the lady, opened one hut, and he instructed her that even during the night, even if I come, please don't open the door. And he wanted nobody to know that there is a lady in bed. So lady says, sorry, don't worry, I'm all right now. So she was locked in her hut. Jaimini went away. He could not sleep. Could not chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. As soon as he started to close eyes, the lady was standing in front of his eyes. So he thought, I'm not able to sleep. So about 2 a.m., it was helplessly got up and ran to the hut. Now that I'm Jaimini. But she wouldn't open. Because it was his instruction that even if I come, you don't please open. But now he's very desperate. So he climbed the roof and threw himself inside. Lady was surprised. You are there? Yes. Are you married? No, he said, I'm searching for one. Finish. You like me, you marry me. She said, yes, but my father is a condition. He will definitely marry you like you. Nice and as good looking, thin as he like you. Prince said he was watering complete. Now he's getting a beautiful room. So, yeah, he said, what is your condition? He said, a man who wants to marry me should walk like a donkey. On two heads and two legs. And carry me on the back. And his face must be completely colored black. And he should take me from my house to the goddess temple on the hill and bring me back to the house. And then he will marry me. That's all right. One round, you know. Doesn't matter. And apart from that, my face will be completely black. So even Madhava sees he will not be able to read it. So, he was ready, you know. Became like a donkey. She sat on her back. The face was completely charred. And walking to the temple, you know. And as soon as they entered the temple, that lady revealed herself. And it was Vyas Bhagavan. He said, is it my verse is correct or not? He said, yes, Maharaj. So this is a greatest pitfall. Unless we conquer these things, it is impossible. It is impossible to go ahead on the spiritual anti-material particle. The anti-material particle is completely above these inebrities. And these are the three modes. As soon as you come to the material existence, sex is the greatest impediment. And you are attracted by it, we cannot avoid it, and nobody could guarantee that I am completely conquered my senses. No. In this age, every second of our existence, we have this risk of gliding down. So please, understand these things and try to control yourself. If you are married, then it's alright once. Don't repeat it again. Chewing the chewed again and again, same difficulties will be there. And those who are not married, please try to search out. In these countries, it is a pitiable condition that even the girls are driven out of the houses as soon as they attain the age. They get out of the house, her parents drive them away. It is a pitiable condition. They should come to our centers and be safe to some extent, and we marry also nice girls and nice boys. So please try to find out a suitable match. And if you are unsuccessful, then stop this pursuit and catch the lotus feet of Prabhupada and serve him to the best of your ability. And then you will have the best part of the life. Hare Krishna. Yes, can I ask you?
What exactly means goodness?
Okay. What does, can you give examples of
goodness? Now we are talking
about God. Yes. We are in goodness.
So that's not
if you go to earn money, then you are in passion. You have to work hard, you know. You have to drive the car or put the bundles inside or do some hard work, you know, to earn that is passion. When you stop that passionate mood and you come to the center, now you don't have to worry about prasadam or anything. The food is getting ready. So you will have nice prasadam up to your neck, you can eat. And that is mode of goodness. And if you repeatedly come here, then you will always be in a mode of goodness. And never glide down to the mode of ignorance. Our sleep is also in a mode of goodness. Because we take rest about 9:30 at night, and then we have to be up by 3:30. So we don't have time to be in a mode of goodness. And as soon as we get up, again we chant Krishna's name to complete control. But he has done it. So this is the way. As soon as you come to mode of goodness, your figure will completely change. Your grey hair will become black to a certain extent. You will have no wrinkles on your face. You will have a very nice life. You will always be prasanna, always smiling, always happy. Krishna doesn't like face like banana. He wants a watermelon like face. Always smiling. And you don't know that as soon as you utter Krishna's names, you smile. We don't do anything else. Chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
And we are in the mode of goodness. And because we are in the mode of goodness, we are happy. And if you are happy, then you don't worry about anything. And you come to these centers again and again. It's very nice for Paul to establish this thing and get connected to his own centers. Our centers are very powerful all over the world. Wherever you go, the mode of goodness is plenty there. We have nice deities, nice worship, nice chanting of Krishna's names. And this is the way our Prabhupada has guaranteed us that you will have a happy life. And we have a happy life. You see the difference on the faces. You can see. And this difference, many times our devotees go out on the streets, in the town also. And people by seeing, looking at them, they are surprised. Materially we are paupers. We don't have any material assets. But what we lack, have you seen our Radha Desh? Who, any richest man has that palace? And we don't have anything and we are staying in a palace. We nothing belongs to us, but palace is ours. Nice garden is there. Has any rich man the garden? Rich man will be in the city center, smelling all the fumes. And we are outside the town, quite away in the forest. And therein we have nice food, nice prasadam, very happy kirtan. What we lack? Why for we want money? We want money to stay, we want money to buy the clothes, we want money to make ourselves happy. So without money we are happy. We don't do anything else, we just chant Krishna's names. And he has given us the palace. Nobody has in Antwerp or Gwent. Has anybody the palace like this? Or Madhva is sitting on the third floor and doesn't pay anything at all? What is he doing? Just very simple method to come to the mode of goodness and very happy. Very happy. Those who are advancing in age, they should please, I request you, that you should come to our centers and do some humble seva and your life will be prolonged. If not prolonged, at least whatever time is left in your life, you will be completely happy. And those who are not advanced in age, they should take this advantage, because at the moment, being young in your age, you have a sharp memories, you have sharp understanding. Please don't waste your time behind these pursuits of the senses. They will destroy you. Alcohol is destroying. Smoking is complete destruction. Running after maids is complete destruction. And the danger is of the AIDS. Again, either you give AIDS to somebody else or you accept the AIDS. There is the greatest danger in this society. Please keep away from these things. Till you are alive, get attracted to the God and godly activities. And that will really give you a very nice life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Have you anything to ask? There is so much to tell. You know, I have this Bible copy also. The same thing is repeated. You hear, I'll read you something about water and air, you know. And that is same. In our Bhagavad Gita also, God describes the same thing. See, this is the copy of the original Bible. It was in Aramaic, and somebody has very nicely translated. The thing is, I want to tell you that we are not here to convert you. No, we don't want to convert anybody. If you are Christians, you be good Christians. If you are Mohammedans, you be good Mohammedans. If you are Hare Krishna, be good Hare Krishna. Whatever faith you are following, you continue. But go to the extreme goodness. And that will give you a very nice life. Regarding Bible, he says in forward, see, nearly 2000 years have passed since the Son of Man taught the way, the truth and the life is mankind. He brought health to the sick, wisdom to the ignorant, and happiness to those in misery. His words became half forgotten and were not collected till some generations after they were uttered. This is the main thing you have to understand. It was collected long after Christ had passed away. They have been misunderstood, wrongly annotated, hundreds of times rewritten, and hundreds of times transformed, yet they have nevertheless survived almost 2000 years. And though his words, as we hear them today in the New Testament, have been terribly mutilated and deformed, they nevertheless have conquered half of humanity and the whole world of the civilization of the West. This fact proves the eternal vitality of the Master's words and their supreme and the incomparable value. Only one commandment our Prabhupada always mentions, that thou shalt not kill. If you want to be a real Christian, you should shun from killing. That is, you should never touch the meat. That is the thing required by Christ. And in this booklet, he supports vegetarianism. There's so many passages, beautiful. We are under the control of the time, so I cannot go in detail. But this is the main thing. Even if you want to be a Christian, a good Christian, you must hear this commandment, that thou shalt not kill. And you should not interpret the commandment. Commandment is commandment. Thou shalt not kill. So please, from today, you should shun from killing the eggs or fish or meat. And if you see, there was a video we saw, one video, very did we saw in Zimbabwe, in Harare. And that video was so very horrible, how these slaughterhouses are organized. If anybody sees that video, he will immediately, he or she, will stop killing the animals. I mean to say, will stop eating the meat. Immediately. It is not that we are fanatics, that you should be vegetarian. Vegetarian is not a big deal. Even the pigeons are vegetarians. What's the use of that vegetarianism? But in order to progress spiritually, you must stop these things. And according to the commandments given by Christ. And if you don't hear Christ, how can you claim that you are Christians? Christians means followers of the Christ. And if you don't follow that, then you have to consider whether you are Christian or not. By mere label, you cannot. It is not a printed label that on the forehead the Christian stamp is there. No, it is the lifestyle. So you please come to this conclusion. For this reason, we have decided to publish the pure original words of Jesus, translated directly from the Aramaic tongue spoken by Jesus and his beloved disciple John, who along among Jesus' disciples noted with perfect accuracy his master's personal teachings. It is a heavy responsibility to proclaim the pleasant New Testament, which is the basis of all Christian churches, as deformed and falsified. But there is no higher religion than the truth. The content of this book is only a fragment, about an eighth of the complete manuscript which existed in Aramaic language. This gives, the forward gives you the idea. And then, if I read the passages from it, it is exactly befitting with Sanatan religion, that is eternal religion, which we are propagating and which we are describing. It's the same as the pages of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavad. Please consider these things. And before it gets too late, before you face another death in this species of existence, you must come to your senses. And as soon as you try to come to your senses, you must try to follow the instructions of the scriptures. Yaha shastra vidhim utsrajya kariyate kama karyataha nasa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na param gatim. If you don't follow the instructions, shastra vidhim utsrajya kariyate kama karyataha, if you perform the activities according to your sense gratification, then you are a rascal. The result is nasa siddhim, there is no perfection in it. Na sukham, there is no happiness in it. And na param gatim, there is no spiritual progress in it. Then you run like dogs and cats, that's all. And then it is very nicely said in the scripture that budbhadaiva toyeshu mashkaiva jantushu marnaiva jayante katha shravana varpitaha. Those who don't hear these instructions and those who don't hear and realize these instructions, put them into practice, then what is their condition? Budbhadaiva toyeshu, they are just like a bubble in the water. And a bubble may be very good and beautiful, but how long is going to burst? Then mashakaiva jantushu, in the insects, the mosquitoes, they are born in the evening and before morning they are dead. We are just like those bubbles and like mosquitoes. We are just born to die. That's all. Nothing else. Manaiva jayante. They are just taking birth to die. That's all. Unless you come to this point. Hare Krishna. And we are getting late. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
So nice to see you. And please keep in touch with the center. I am very happy that the things are increasing. This is Prabhupada's potency. Wherever there is Prabhupada, things are bound to increase. Hare Krishna.